thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Hi.
Here's John Williams.
We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. This is John Williams. We're here till 3, Saturdays, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. Don't forget, on social media, WGN King John. Look for me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. Really busy on Facebook today. There we go. A pet topic of this show the last few days has been rules of the road and driving around school buses. And for that matter, my theory that we should have graduated fines for traffic violations based on your income. You make more, you pay more. You make less, you pay less. Especially if you make less, you pay less. I'm not personally interested as a high income wage earner in paying more. But I think if you're only making $15 an hour, you should pay a lot less for running a red light or not coming to a full stop at a stop sign than I pay. Just my theory. But I got this email. Imagine that. Me, John Williams. It says, "Dear King John, as far as the Illinois laws are, look at the Illinois Rules of the Road book. Page 32 and 33 of the 2018 Rules of the Road book states fairly clearly what drivers and bus operators are supposed to do. Violetta, are you listening to this?"
I'm listening.
"You were complaining yesterday about being behind a school bus, and the car in front of you, between you and the school bus, wouldn't pull around. You wanted to get going. And we, all of us, said, no, we never want to go around a school bus. You said, unless the light is red on the bus or the stop arm is out."
Well, both should be happening, but one or the other.
"You can go around it." And people called in and said, "Violetta's right. If it's blinking orange or if it's just sit over there parked on the side, you can go around the school bus." "I will never go around a school bus. I will go the other direction, go down to Mississippi, come back through Iowa. I will go around rather than pass a school bus." This texter says, or emailer says, "The only time a vehicle is not required to stop for a school bus is when both vehicles are on a four-lane roadway and the bus is stopped in the opposite direction from which a driver is traveling, meaning you can go forward if three lanes over, coming in the other direction, and the other two lanes go in the other direction, the bus is parked over there, you can keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, you got to stop."
May I speak?
Go.
"Those rules are saying if it has red flashing lights with the stop sign out. So if a school bus is stopped and picking up or dropping off children, these are the times when you stop." So they're explaining, because you need to stop in both directions. So it's saying for four lanes, you're allowed to go if there's a median on the other side, because there's no way the kids are getting to you, basically.
I got it. Right. Because
so
if
this
it was
is
a two-lane road and you're coming at the school bus, you've still got to stop,
right,
regardless of what's. But four lanes, you can keep going.
Right.
I didn't even know that. We need to get somebody to come in from the state of Illinois and give us a primer on this. Just kind of walk us through all the stuff. My wife, as it turns out, is taking Mark Baser. Just walked into our studio. Hello, Mark Baser.
How are you?
My wife, good, thank you, is taking the Rules of the Road test today.
Why?
Because her birthday just came and went, and she looked at her driver's license and said, I got to get it renewed.
I went there for a surprise test once. They're like, okay, just come over here. I'm like, what? But I passed flying colors.
She's taking the...
You're allowed to also skip three questions.
Wait a minute. When you renew your license, you have to take the test again?
Not the driving test, but you got to sit down and take a test.
You do?
Well, maybe not. I think so.
Some people do. I think if you have a mark on your license.
Well, hers is from out of state. She's still driving with the Minnesota one.
That's why.
Well, it might say exam, though, and she might not have to, because I thought I was going to have to renew it, and it just was the eye test.
I think you ought to.
Nah.
You ought to go ahead and... But here's something that they still do that they shouldn't do. You know, a lot of this stuff, I think, doesn't really appreciate the world we live in. One of them is this. They say, how many feet behind a school bus should you stop? Or how many feet distance should you give between you and the car in front of you and stuff like that? And then you need to memorize 75 or 150 or whatever the number is. The number doesn't mean anything to people. You come up to them and go, how much is 150 feet? They don't know. Really. I mean, that's a number that you memorize, but does it really tell you anything when you're driving down the road?
You have some conception, don't you, of what 50 feet would be?
People do not know
how
far.
Like, we're 50 feet away from each other right now.
We are not. We're about six. And you know what? Here's one that blows my mind. A quarter mile. How far is a quarter mile?
It's a quarter mile.
How long or far? What's a good way to visualize a quarter mile?
It's like walking to my elementary school and back.
it's one lap around the track at the school. All the tracks around football, that's a quarter mile.
But that's hard to picture because it's circular.
Well, you could stretch it out.
We're starting to learn in a different way. We're learning by GPS.
Yeah.
Because it will say in a quarter mile, turn right.
They should show you the blue dots. They should say, not how many feet, but if you're this blue dot, where should your blue dot be?
What will self-driving cars do when they're behind a bus? They're going to get all freaked out.
All I'm saying is, I don't know that asking people to memorize a number sufficiently gauges their ability to navigate correctly.
It's a start.
What about starting with yellow lights mean caution, red lights mean stop?
Yeah, because people just go around the red lights anyway.
I thought yellow light meant stop if you can. No, seriously.
No, well, it means slow down.
I think
look
it does,
both
I don't
ways
think it means slow down.
And continue. Yeah.
I think it means stop if it's safe to do so.
No, you mean go if it's safe to do?
No. Yellow.
Maybe you guys are saying the same thing. If you are coming up on an intersection...
Look up what yellow light means.
Answer this question.
Somebody.
You're coming up on an intersection, the light's yellow.
Yeah, obviously I'll just slow down or speed up. But
right,
I don't think it means that. I think on the test it means something slightly different.
Oh, I meant flashing yellow light.
Okay, but I'm still
Which is
confused.
Different than a yellow light.
What do you think a yellow light
I
means?
I think it means stop if it's safe to do so.
Stop if it's
meaning
safe
if
to
you're
do so.
He yeah. means if you're too close to the intersection, then you need to go because you're going to cause a rear someone's going
to
rear end you.
It's always safe to stop if you're
no,
coming up
not.
On a yellow light, but you shouldn't stop if you're coming up on a yellow light.
Maybe
you
I'm wrong.
Keep going.
Last time I took the test was when I was 16 and a half or whatever.
I'm so going to rear end you at an intersection.
Then you would be at fault.
And by definition, I would be at fault. I understand that. I appreciate that, but it'll still be your fault. Karen, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hello. Hi, Karen.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hi, I'm a school bus driver, and I just want people to know when the lights are yellow and flashing, you don't know when they're going to turn red, so you should stop at the yellows.
You should as a measure of caution, but the law I don't think requires you to.
Come to a full stop and stop completely for 10, 15 minutes? Like, well, for how long? What's the duration of the stop of a flashing yellow light?
Exactly. You're not, I don't, do you know
okay,
that?
Okay, that means the bus is going to open their doors for children.
But when that happens, doesn't the light turn red?
Yes, but you don't know when that happens. So many cars, as soon as, they don't stop when the yellows are on and the reds come out, and two or three cars will go through that stop sign and their red lights.
Well, that's why I do what I said I do, but the law does not require me to do that. When I get to be King Karen, I think I'm going to make that the law. It'll be more absolute. I mean, hey, everybody, if too bad for you if you're following a school bus, but you're going to be stopping a lot because when the lights are yellow, we're going to treat it as a red. Don't go around the bus, because even though you have the law on your side, these are kids. They're going to run out.
Yes.
Maybe they're going to run out.
Well, yes, they will. They do. When they see the bus stop, they don't care what color lights are on. They're going to run out to get to the bus.
Karen, thank you for the phone call. You have a good day. Thank you for being a bus driver.
Thank you.
Hey, I looked up what a yellow light means.
Oh, boy.
And I'm right. Steady yellow light signal that the light will turn red soon, so you must either come to a safe stop before the crosswalk, or if you can't stop safely, proceed with caution through the intersection before the light turns red.
That is categorically wrong.
I'm on DMV.org.
That's not how people do that.
I'm not saying that.
That's the dumbest written law I've ever seen. No, I mean, really, if you and I are driving along and now it changes yellow, you could probably slow very quickly and stop at the yellow.
That's what you're supposed to do.
You are absolutely, you know, you're just being an antagonist.
My son asked me yesterday on the L. He saw the sign that said you can get arrested if you're eating on the L. And I was like, nobody gets arrested for eating on the L. He's like, well, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to risk it. I'm like, and then I almost wanted to feed him food to show that you can break some rules. But
I got on the red line today. And I come up to my car and I realize there's a guy sleeping across several of the seats. I go, you know what? I don't want to deal with this because sometimes those guys wake up and they're drunk or they're obnoxious. I got on the next car. There's a guy sleeping in the seats. He's taking up three or four seats. And everybody is standing around him and he's just snoozing away. And he looked like a young man who was probably north and he's coming south and he just was tired and he decided to lay down and sleep. And I wanted to I wanted somebody to do something about that.
Should have just lied down on top of him.
Yeah, I was going to take his picture and then shame him on
social media. But we might have a real problem.
But I hate shaming on social media. It is too easy and too often too wrong.
Right. If you're not going to do it in real life, you can't hide behind the screen.
Fair enough. Right. So, you should first approach the person and say, hey, come on, buddy, get up. And if he says, no, I broke my arm and I'm on my way to the hospital, well, then I've sort of gotten around the possibility of putting out an incorrect social media shame, which is the lowest behavior.
Do you think you could have just handled it cordially and everything would have... You would have sat next to each other for the rest of the ride.
I think Violetta's right. There should be a protocol. Don't shame somebody publicly until you try and reconcile it privately.
You know what? I was thinking about this when somebody gave me the finger the other day while driving. And I used to think, you know
what? You can get arrested for that, too.
Oh, really?
That's distracted diving.
You would never just go up to somebody on the street and give them the finger. But we give the finger all the time, while they're driving. I don't either.
No,
but
I get it.
And I used to be against that. Like, if you're not going to give me the finger to my face, you shouldn't be able to. But then I thought, you know, it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice that we live in a society where people can just give you the finger in the car. It's kind of cute.
And move on. You got to say that part of the story.
Like, she got her anger out. I don't know her. She doesn't know me. We'll never see each other again.
But don't you feel guilty after you do it?
I was wrong in the way I drove.
Do you feel satisfied?
Like, for the next two blocks, you're like, I'll never see that person. I'm a jerk.
Exactly. Why did I lower myself to that level? We'll pause here.
And then someone cuts you off.
And boom, it's back up. So here's what we're going to do. Pause, take a quick commercial break. Mark Baser's in the studio. He's regularly appears at the Hideout with his interview show. It's on TV tonight.
Sure is.
You were on last week promoting that because we thought it was going to be last Thursday night.
I made a mistake.
Now it's this Thursday night, so I invited
you. I had a live show last week, though.
How did that go, by the way?
You know what? We talked about the fate of the Hideout that day on the radio, and like 2 days later...
They said they're not going to open that entertainment venue after all.
Yeah, so I don't know whether it was something I did.
Could have been us or could have been you. All right, let's pause. We'll just preview your show on TV tonight because it's pretty good.
Thank you.
We'll also talk a little bit about R. Kelly and Chance the Rapper. Don't you hate it when you think you're leading a parade, you turn around, there's no one there? Not everybody's agreeing with me on my ideas about graduated fines for traffic violations.
Well, you're still allowed to think that.
You're making the very progressive liberal argument against regressive taxes like sin taxes and all things like that.
Maybe I am. I'm just saying that when I was about to get what I thought was going to be an expensive ticket, I thought, I can afford this. I have $300 in my checking account. I know people who make $15 an hour, and that's half a week's wage for them, and that's not fair. We're both committing the same crime. It means it's a lot less deterrent to me than it is to them.
Do you think the same should be true for speeding tickets?
Sure. I mean,
you buy a pack of cigarettes, like the sin tax or whatever that's called?
I am not for that. I think that's your money and you get to spend it however you want. For instance, if you're on, say, food stamps, if you're on the SNAP program, I'm not looking in your grocery cart. You can do whatever you want with it.
But you don't think that you should pay more tax on a pack of cigarettes than somebody who makes less than you?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I haven't thought it all through.
I mean, that would be impossible to impose.
I know. Yeah. But I think you could do it. In fact, I looked this up. The highest... In Switzerland, a guy got $1 million speeding ticket because he makes a lot of money. And it's graduated there relative to your income.
He still must have been going pretty fast.
He was doing 180.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I actually think that was miles an hour, not kilometers an hour. He's going insanely fast. And he made an insane amount of money. And when he came home, his wife said, how was your day? And he goes, well, it was pretty good. I got home really quick. We're out 600,000 pounds.
But if time is money, maybe he made out more, maybe given how much he makes.
Mark Baser's at the Hideout. You see his interview show there in person, but they videotape it, and then they put it on TV on Channel 11 tonight. Who's on Channel 11?
We have Michael Wilbon from ESPN, ESPN's Pardon the Interruption show, and he's awesome. He's great.
I've always been a big fan of his and Tony Kornheiser. And anything he does. And he carries the Chicago flag, that guy.
He does. And funny, it's one of the things I asked him in the interview, which I knew what he was going to say, but it was just fun to hear him say it, was Jordan or LeBron. And
break now? Wait, hold on. Got to take a break now? Elif just said break. Take a break.
Well,
we got a
stay tuned and you'll find out what he said.
Keep going, Mark Baser.
And he said, and if, of course, he said Jordan. But that's a real debate, and I knew where he was going to come down on it, but he said, well, who do you want the ball? Who do you want to have the ball in the last 3 seconds of the game?
Jordan or LeBron or Steph Curry or anybody?
Well, I limited it to Jordan and LeBron, but which I don't think you'd expand it beyond that. Would you, for the best ever?
I think, you know, it's funny because those may be two different questions. I think LeBron is a better basketball package than Michael Jordan.
But you'd want Jordan at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can buy that.
So he's on. How did you get him, by the way?
So I had been trying for a long time, and I had his email address and no reply. And, you know, I mean, I didn't expect much. He gets emailed a lot. And then I was sitting, since we're doing it on TV now, we have a makeup person, and she's a woman that I found through WTTW, and she's great, Ruthie. And Ruthie and I were talking, and she asked me, who would you like to have that you haven't been able to have? And I said, well, God, you know, I've really been trying to get Michael Wilbon. And she said, really? Because I see him every other week. I do his makeup when he's in town doing remotes for, pardon the interruption, when he's not in D.C. where he lives. And I said, can you ask him? And that's all it took. So,
and the next thing you know, he says, yeah, I'll come by.
Yeah.
Did he know he's coming by a little dive bar on the north side?
You never know. I mean, he was so gracious and so nice, and I didn't talk to him. I usually talk to the guests a little bit beforehand and then a little bit after. And in this case, he was doing other stuff, and I didn't talk to him on either end. So I just talked to him when he came up on stage.
Time's up. That's Mark Baser. Watch him on Channel
10 p.m.
11 tonight at 10 p.m. and then Sunday night at 10:30.
Yeah, it's the same episode. It's just two options to watch it.
Well, watch it.
Or DVR it.
Nice to see you, Mark Baser.
Thanks for
coming in. Wilbon's always good. Baser's always terrific. That'll be a fun conversation tonight at 10 on Channel 11. Lots of texts, very few of them in support of some of my ideas. I'm used to it. John, why would you want graduated fines for rules of the road violations? Your income has no bearing on your driving abilities and decisions. This makes no sense to me. I thought I laid out my theory about this so perfectly and sympathetically. I think the reason people don't agree with me is they're not as nice as I am.
Well, could I offer a suggestion to alter your graduated ticketing?
Okay.
Perhaps the ticket itself stays at the same price because the crime itself is the same.
It is.
But the fine for not paying it on time could be graduated.
I know you're big on that because when you don't pay it on time, then it compounds.
Well, it doubles.
And that's when people who don't have high incomes really do end up struggling. They lose their car.
And they didn't do anything wrong.
Right. They didn't do anything wronger than what I did. I would absolutely grant you that.
Okay.
But I said if what I did is a $100 violation and I make a lot of money and you did the same thing and you're making $15 an hour, then the crime affects you, the punishment affects you more than it affects me. And I think the punishment should affect us equally.
Well, and you should have been, but if you made less, then you should have been more deterred to not break the law.
I'm so done with that. You know, neither of us intended to run the light or pass, you know.
Well, you didn't, but you don't know that. Someone who parks illegally.
Do you think people who make $15 an hour are less inclined or more inclined to commit a moving violation in their vehicle? We're all about the same on that, aren't we?
But
you're making $15 an hour. Are you driving around going, I can't make a mistake. I'm only making $15 an hour. No, you accidentally roll through a stop sign or you thought you could make the yellow and now it's red. That's what happened to me.
What about people that continue to get moving violations?
I'm done talking to you about this. We should do what you said, V. We're going to get somebody who is a rules of the road expert to come in and at least make sure we know the rules. And then when I become king, I'll go ahead and change the penalty phase. I'm not sure everybody's going to like it. It's 1:38. I wonder what the apparently ladies would say. And John Sos is in our studio, and Tracy Weiner, both former producers here at WGN Radio and now podcasters on the WGN platforms. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi, John. Hi, John.
Want to jump into that conversation at all?
I was wondering if you make less money and you're driving a car that could be more faulty or, you know, have a taillight out.
Right.
Does that...
It's part of it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is the same thing. It's easier for me to get my car fixed and keep it in running order, and maybe it goes out and you don't even know it's out. I mean, really, how do you know when your taillight's out, but a police officer pulls you over?
Right, so that weighs in.
So this was all on my mind as I was going through an intersection this week and thought about that. I haven't got my ticket in the mail. Maybe I'm going to dodge it this time, but if I got the ticket, I could afford it, and it would be easier for me than some people.
There's a stretch of road on Irving Park in the city.
I was on Irving Park.
Okay. And when we go by, my husband says to my daughters, this is where mommy always gets her tickets.
Where are the cross intersections?
It's right by the cemetery and near Sheffield and Irving.
Yeah, that's my neighborhood.
Yes. And every time I go 31 miles an hour, because it's a 30-mile-an-hour zone, because there's a tiny park next to the cemetery.
Yes, there is. Those are the zones.
Yeah.
And then I think schools are also flagged in the city.
Yes.
Ladies, that's not why you're here, though. Tracy, why are you here? Stop. Go.
You're silent. Don't make me yell.
Yes. That's good, because that's the theme of your podcast.
Yeah, it's a new year. We're trying to, think about things a little differently. You have time to reflect over the holidays about what you're good or bad at with your kids. And we decided to do an episode on yelling, because it happens in my house.
Do you yell?
Yeah.
Well, you're a loud person. I mean, your laugh is funny. No, am I right about that?
Yes.
I don't mean that critically at all.
Oh, okay.
I mean, your joy is infectious. You're a voluble.
She lives
I'm
out
passionate.
Loud.
Passionate.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So I could see you being angry and raising your voice, but I've never heard you raise your voice in anger. Do you yell at your kids?
Oh yeah. There's a good reason why the windows are always closed in my house. We go right from air conditioning to heat and vice versa.
Right. Yeah. Doors always windows closed. How about you, Anne?
I have something that we call the mommy growl.
Right.
So when I am angry, I'm like, get in the car. And then they have to listen very closely because they can't quite hear me. And they stop what they're doing and get in the car.
What's the angry voice for you like?
Calm downstairs!
I don't mind that one.
It's like the intercom system in my house. Well, you remember, you had boys. Like, when they're older, they go to their room.
Yeah,
like, it's a common thing.
So if they're upstairs,
right,
though, and I say, Grant, Griff, come on down. We're eating dinner. We're going. We got to be late. Let's go. That's one voice. That's one yell. But I'm angry at you, and we're 6 feet away, and I'm using that same voice.
I'd say I don't do that as often. I do raise my voice, but it's more of like to get a direct, like to get the outcome I'm looking for. Like, get your butt downstairs or get your shoes on. Like, I've asked you 15 times. You know you're going to school today. Get your shoes on.
So you ladies had an expert on to talk about what happens.
We
on this?
Did.
That's the theme of your thing. Yeah. You say, we're not the experts.
Right.
Let's get somebody who is.
We're absolutely average. And so there was a New York Times piece last fall that made us think of this. And what did he call it? The columnist said it was like the stupidest.
That's the biggest act of parental stupidity.
Yeah.
Is yelling at your kids?
Yes.
Yeah. And his name is Dr. Alan Kasdan. He's from Yale. And he is, an expert, and I have friends who took classes from him 30 years ago, and he has not changed at all. He is, I said on when we posted on Facebook, he left us speechless, which is the opposite of yelling, because he is so energetic and adamant, but also, like, he loves these lessons he's teaching.
What is the reason that you should not yell at your kids? You know what, Trace? I've got you're in the co-host position on my board, but never mind. Keep going.
I'm sorry.
You're good.
He said yelling is just not an effective use of communication. Like, if you're looking for a desired outcome, yelling is not. All yelling does, basically, he says, is teaching your kids to yell and scream. Mm-hmm.
So he has something else he calls the ABCs. And he says it's the antecedent, the behavior, and the consequences. So he says, let's say you don't have your shoes on, John. I say, I'd like you to put your shoes on when we're ready for school. Please, please,
please,
please. And with a gentle voice and a pleasing voice, please put your shoes on this morning. And then when the kid does it, you say, oh my gosh, you put your shoes on. Hugely effusive. And then a gentle touch.
Really, this is the method.
Yes.
If that doesn't come naturally for you at home, this is how you're supposed to do it.
And he actually brought up something else called negativity bias, which I didn't think about this before. But how often do you really, like, when things are going good, do you really acknowledge
celebrate
that?
Celebrate that.
He's like, your kids are sitting on the couch. They decide on a show on Netflix or watching TV. They're getting along. You don't say, wow, it's so great, you're getting along. It's when they start fighting about which show to watch that you go in there and you're like, stop fighting, and like it escalates. And so you're just perpetuating that behavior is what he's basically saying.
I don't think we appreciate enough how much a simple compliment for appropriate behavior is appreciated.
Yes.
By your boss, by your spouse, by your parents.
For sure. And the negativity bias, he says, is intrinsic. He talked about two antelope and, you know, one's from New York and one's from California. And they're at the same watering hole. And the New York guy is going, oh, someone's going to eat us. Someone's going to attack us. What's going on here? And the California guy is like, nah, dude, it's good water.
Dude, this is awesome.
But he says, you know, who's going to survive? The one who's looking for the negativity, the one who's staying safe by being alert, or the one who's like, hey, dude, that's great.
But I'm sorry, that's an argument for yelling, isn't it?
It's an argument for what we look for.
And why we do that.
We look for negatives.
Yeah.
Can I just add something as a recent
child?
Yeah. That's perfect. As a recent child, I acted more so out of fear when I was a kid.
You mean you were afraid you were going to get yelled at?
Yeah.
So you behaved appropriately?
Right.
Yeah.
You behaved that way before it happened? Like, you behaved good because you were afraid of the yelling?
No, because I knew that I would get yelled at because I've been yelled at before as a kid.
So, but Elif, you're not a yeller now, are you?
No, you're not. Not around me.
I mean, very rarely.
You don't have kids either. I mean, maybe that's when you'll know. But I think that, you know, fear of getting yelled at is one thing. But there's probably ways to discipline or instruct your kids without using volume, right? Or even offering negative consequences. I thought what you were going to say, and maybe what you will, is that when you yell, you're not doing anything for the kid. It's just you. That's selfish.
Yes. It's cathartic. And we talked about
that. And that too. Yeah. It feels good sometimes.
It does. And he said, actually, do the ABC method, teach them good habits, and then go in the other room and yell. He said, you might be an opera singer somewhere, but don't do it in front of the kids.
Yeah, because sometimes that really does release the anger or tension that you have.
Yep.
And one of the biggest things that he said that I was telling my husband about was because parents have a tendency to caboose. Have you ever heard?
No.
Oh, this is
caboosing.
A good one.
This is good. It's like,
is that something you do in bed?
No comment. So anyway, he says that what's funny is that parents sabotage their behavior by praising and like saying something and then saying, I've told you 1,000 times, like if only you would have just done it the first time. And so he's like, praise, put duct tape on your mouth and walk out the door. Don't qualify and say, well, geez, I've told you this 1,000,000 times. I don't know why you didn't do it.
Yeah. So it's the idea that you do all the good behavior and you reward them for behaving well and then saying, see, you know, you could have done this right the first time.
Oh,
and then you undermine all of it.
Yeah. Well, that sarcasm probably doesn't travel well.
No.
As an instructional tool.
No, I mean, little kids don't get that.
Texter said this, John, yelling indicates one is out of control. Mm-hmm. And I think you just made that point. 708 says, does this doctor have kids? Maybe they're not buying this completely.
Oh, you know, it's a good point. I don't know. He's old enough to have grandkids. So.
Yeah. Well, but I know that a lot of really good ideas on paper just aren't practical in practice. And maybe that's what this person is suggesting. I can't imagine that my yelling at my son once in a blue moon was injurious.
Well, and also there's a case where if the kid's going to step out into traffic, yelling is absolutely essential.
Yeah.
I mean, to create that surprise and fear is okay when they're in danger. It's just that if your go-to is to, you know, always be angry and always be frustrated, it doesn't help the kid and it doesn't help you.
Is this the same conversation with physical discipline, do you think?
Yes.
They actually talk about it in the New York Times article. It's talking about, it likened it to spanking. Like, spanking makes a parent, like, maybe it's a release for their frustration, but it doesn't really have a desired outcome.
And
through research, the doctor said, this is
really
across the world, research, this is the process.
And that's what this texture is all about. Does this guy really have kids? I mean, I think there's some people who think sometimes a kid needs to be yelled at. Sometimes a swat on the butt will keep the kid from doing it the next time because they don't want to get hit on the butt next time.
Right.
Right.
How many of us have been raised with a bit of that kind of corporal discipline at home?
Right. Well, it's research-based. I mean, he's at Yale.
It's research-based. But I think, okay, so maybe to some degree or another, yelling or spanking has worked in some circumstances. What he's asking us to do is it the hard way. Reward good behavior. Be this patient, positive person. Hey, you kids are sitting on the sofa watching TV so nicely. Isn't that great? Oh, give me a break.
Well, it's really hard to notice the good stuff. You know, I said in the podcast, maybe we need a positivity bias. We should look for the good things.
But, yes.
Yeah.
But who has time?
Or you know, but I really think that that gets a little closer to everybody gets a trophy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, come on.
Well, that, you don't have to fake it.
Aren't there some expectations?
You don't have to fake it and be like, for the sake of saying something. Like, when it's warranted, I could see saying something. His point was that basically, like, when your husband comes home and you're like, how was your day, honey? And he's like, it was great, except for this one thing. People don't, like, if they had a good day, but one thing sucked and they're like, this stunk. They fixate on the one thing that is bad.
Yep.
Or if you have stock portfolio and they're all doing really great and the one stock tanks, you concentrate on that.
Well, what happens on our call and text lines? You're doing a good show. People are listening. They're listening. They are listeners.
Yes.
And maybe even fans of what you're doing. The time you said that one thing,
that's when they
reach out to us.
Well, and that's also what you focus on, too. Because
I remember
when I was doing the morning show, we could get 100 nice compliments, and then one person would say something mean, and I'd be like, no.
Or how about a little positivity bias out there, listeners? So maybe you all ought to start texting and calling, going, just wanted to let you know you're doing thumbs up. Look at you talking on the radio.
You do it every day.
And you showed up on time.
Yes.
Oh, not everybody here does that.
Yes, that's true.
So they don't get that praise. This one, though, says, what does 708 text, what does Mr. Yale guy say about swearing?
Ooh, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes that comes with the volume, sometimes not, but...
I have a friend who swears like a sailor, and her whole deal is, do as I say, not as I do. Her kids don't flinch when she swears, but they're not allowed to do it themselves. Now, I imagine they'll grow up and they will also swear.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
773, I wonder how many parents follow this, because things go nuts, so does the train of thought. So when you're really angry, or when you're,
yeah,
when the kid's really misbehaving, it's maybe hard to talk about, to do the things we're talking about.
Right. It's out of frustration that you're yelling. Like, my kids know every day they're going to school and they know what time to go. So it's not like, how many times do you have to tell them?
Well, what about this? I agree with what you all are saying. And I think intellectually we all understand it.
Yes, putting into practice is different.
And I also think that we also think it's a little BS, because I think if the kids see you as soft, if you're not assertive, then maybe they're going to take advantage of it. Pat the firefighter texts, I see these parents who talk softly and gently to their kids, and they're terrible. They're rude, disrespectful, and out of control. You know, the parent that says, hey, let's use our inside voice. That one.
Uh-huh.
Like, why don't you use your inside voice, Mom? I'm going crazy!
Or when you're at a restaurant and the parents are just calmly eating while their kids are running around.
Have you ever seen a parent do this? Say, that's it. Pick up and walk the kid out. And we walk out. You know, the check is...
I've done it. At Target?
And you should. I mean, really, I don't see that enough.
Also, as a recent child, I'd like to say that when your parents said, we're going to the bathroom, I'm like, no, I don't have to go. No, I'm good. That was always bad.
Wait, you shouldn't do that?
No, if your parents are taking you to the bathroom, they're going to scold you in there.
Oh, so yours did it quietly.
Oh, yeah, they pulled me away from... Yeah.
312-981-7200, your last calls and comments. This is a podcast that we're talking about. It's called Apparently, and it's with Ann Johnsos and Tracy Weiner. And if you want to listen to it, I'll give you the details on how. You probably know, wherever you listen to podcasts, look for spelled U-H.
U-H, yes.
Apparently. A couple minutes left with Ann Johnsos and Tracy Weiner. They're Apparently podcast. You can get wherever you listen to finer podcasts. We also posted at the WGN Radio platform, I think, right? Can you listen to it at WGNradio.com?
Absolutely.
Just look for podcasts, or wherever you listen to finer podcasts, look for Apparently. Is there a dash in there?
There is a dash. Apparently.
So almost three words. Apparently,
yes.
Is the podcast. These ladies find experts on things like, should you yell at your kids or not? You talked about positive reinforcement. This 630 texter said, I'm so pleased with how well you are all getting along together on the show. 815 says, you all are doing a heck of a job. And from 630, look at you, John Williams. Good job. Way to go, buddy. You got this. So thank you for those nice texts. But this one, 262 lady, says, hey, John, I'm not being a smartass, but what these ladies are describing is the exact way my dog trainer tells me to train my dog. I'm okay with that. I get that completely. I think kids and dogs are similar in that sense, right?
Well, you train them.
Yes.
The idea is to create good habits, and they can't create good habits unless you tell them what those good habits are.
So if your dog goes to the bathroom the way you want, or eats the way you want, or heals the way you want, you give him a little cookie and you say, oh, good dog, good boy.
Yep.
And do we do that to our kids?
No.
Not as much as
not
maybe.
Really.
Almost never when they go to the bathroom.
But I mean, think about that. The common positive but expected behaviors that our kids exhibit, we should go out of our way to once in a while reward that a little bit. And then maybe we won't have so many of the other opportunities to yell.
That's his whole premise, yes.
Yeah. Didn't you just feel great when someone told you you're doing a good job?
Yeah, I do. And it's funny because my wife will sometimes say, well, you get plenty of praise, John. I go, I get plenty of both.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I need and so appreciate the positive.
Yes.
You know, and you think, oh, you're a broadcaster, you've got thick skin. Yeah, all of that. I'm still a person inside.
Yes.
And I think we all appreciate sometimes the kindest or simplest affirmations.
Yep. Yeah.
Ladies, I'm listening to, I'm looking forward to listening to this latest episode. Is that on the platform now?
Yep, yes, it's on today.
Okay, Apparently, the podcast with Ann Johnsos and Tracy Weiner. Ladies, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, John.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks for having us.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
But I do.
Here's John Williams.
And always work out, I'll be honest with you. This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago, on social media. Look for us. As WGN King John on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We've had a busy week on those platforms. Make sure you like, follow, and share WGN King John. Said a little while ago, don't you hate it when you think you're leading a parade, you turn around and there ain't nobody there? I've had a couple of ideas I've been sharing with you lately and hasn't been getting the sort of traction I hoped it would. Lou Manfredini texted me and he said, you should play something like...
Love a parade.
I do. But it's not working, Lou.
I mean, but you're used to that, aren't you?
Totally. In fact, I would be disappointed with you all if you agreed with everything I had to say. But you know what did get some traction, Steve, on my Facebook page, WGN King John on Facebook? I said, for the record, I said, when I get to be king, I'll get a kindergarten teacher in here to resolve this issue in 2 minutes, the border wall standoff. She'll say, he'll say, the kindergarten teacher to the two sides, you're not getting your $5 billion, and you have to give him more money for the wall. Teachers and parents of small children know how these things should end. Now go play. Literally, Donald Trump and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi come in, and they're kind of looking at their shoes. They're in trouble. And there's somebody's mom. There's a kindergarten teacher there, something. They go, all right, give him some money. You, Mr. $5 billion, you're not getting your $5 billion. Shut up. I don't care. Give him the money. Give him some money. You don't get all the money. Okay, now go play. That would solve it. And in fact, that's probably what the solution's going to be. That would solve it. Why did you make that sound?
Because that's what you do at the end of the fight.
And then they go. Pfft. Now shake hands. Tell him you're sorry. Tell him you're sorry.
Yeah, but you know someone's getting pushed down when she turns around.
I think when you tell them you're sorry and shake hands, maybe that's good because at least they learn the mechanics of it. You know, they know that's how we should behave. But they're not sorry or they're not friends now.
Say if I offended you, I'm sorry.
I thought that sound that you made, Violetta, was one of the kids farting at the end.
No,
I know. Right. I didn't do a good job. I don't know how I used to do that when I was little. I can't do it.
Nancy Pelosi said, by the way, speaking of grade school behavior, that whole meeting was set up so that the president, in fact, could slap his hands down and walk out. But he said, I walked out, but I didn't slap my hands. That's because the media is fake. So this issue about almost a million families not getting paid for 3 weeks has sort of devolved into the two sides that control 800,000 paychecks in America. To say nothing of the attendant issues that come with it, border security, et cetera, all of these things that are being neglected. It's devolved down to these two sides arguing about whether or not he went like this.
Well, that is pretty interesting,
bye-bye,
though, because if you listen to the two accounts come out and talk to reporters, Vice President Pence said something like, well, I don't remember him slapping the table. You know, I mean, it's
I don't even know what Mike Pence's voice sounds like.
Someone can't be believed on something as basic as that.
Sure, sure. You're not new here, are you, Steve?
No, but it's just, you know, and just one other thing, you know, you were in the Mincing Rascals talking about Pompeo. in Egypt. And, you know, I try to point out, you can be pro-Trump or anti-Trump or whatever, but we're in a different world. And this Pompeo thing that happened in Cairo today is just an example of that. This is the U.S. Secretary of State in Egypt ripping a previous president. Now, that's one of those things that happens now that didn't used to happen. And we're on the same team. You know, you wouldn't see Obama or John Kerry go and ridicule George Bush in Cairo because we're all Americans. We're on the same sort of team here.
Even if your team has now got a different strategy.
Absolutely. You might say we're doing this or we're going to forward move this way. But to go back and ridicule a successor or predecessor, it's just new territory. You know, it's like, it's just an example of how things have changed so much.
I just don't see how that even helps the case. So there's Pompeo in Egypt, and he said that America's era of self-inflicted shame is over. The self-inflicted American shame is over. Okay, we know that you guys didn't like the Obamas and the Clintons, and you thought that we sort of bowed too much to the rest of the world. We know. And there he is in Egypt, still kicking Barack Obama down the road. You know, it's funny, Steve, because this new congresswoman from New York, Ocasio-Cortez, I have thought that Hillary Clinton needs to send her a thank you note because she appears so
the lightning rod. The
oh new my gosh! Rod? Yeah. Yes, we talked about this in the podcast. We recorded the Mincing Rascals, our weekly roundtable discussion that talked a lot about Ed Burke. It still talked about Cody Parkey, and it talked about the government shutdown, among other things. We cover a lot of ground in about a half an hour, but we talked a little bit about how the media has been covering the government shutdown. Drudge in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and the USA Today, CNN, they were all over the wall issue this morning. The walkout, the possibility of an emergency declaration by the president, you know, all of the things. Fox News, at the same time, had Pompeo erupts in Cairo, delivers blistering rebuke of Obama. I guess so. Then the next article was Why McConnell May Be the Smartest Man in Washington. Their next article was Stunning Pics, Bezos Gal Pal. She is a beautiful Los Angeles anchor woman or reporter woman. And I guess Jeff Bezos is getting a divorce. He's worth $26 billion. So I guess his wife is going to get about $13 billion. That's a fun. I mean, you know, we all are attracted to those stories. But that's the third story. That's way up there rather than some of the critiques. Like I was looking for Fox News to just do a little more navel gazing on the fact that Chris Wallace and Shep Smith have been very critical, have been very fact-checky of what the president's been doing. Didn't see it. And then the next story is Alexandria all the way, Ocasio champions Green New Deal. Oh, and they had boy impaled by tree branch, as though nothing else were happening in the world. Now, these are the main stories that they feature in the middle. On the left-hand column, they have the exclusive Fox News stuff. So then you will get in small insets Sean Hannity's take on the president and the border wall. Sean Hannity is going to do his show, I believe, this evening from the border itself. He is going to have an interview with Donald Trump. We'll see how that goes. CNN's countdown clock continues. 19 days, 15 hours, 14 minutes, and by the way, 55 seconds into the border shutdown, into the government shutdown. And the president is there right now, right, Steve? I don't know that we have any breaking.
He's landed in Texas. We haven't heard from him since then.
Yeah. But the comments on my Facebook page are just maybe cathartic or helpful or interesting to you. And more than a few of you are saying things like, oh, John, please. I'm a kindergarten teacher, too. You know, you're so right about this. They don't always agree with me, but I think on this one, it's pretty easy. Everybody's acting childishly. Let's treat them like children. Joanne wrote, why wasn't this settled when the House and Senate were totally controlled by the GOP the last 2 years? Don't blame this on the Dems. Liz said, cut the salaries for everyone in Congress and the Senate, and then maybe something will get done. Earl said, I'm a federal employee. I just want to get paid. Paul said, John, both sides have backed themselves into a corner with no way out. He wants the wall. They say no. So I guess 800,000 workers are out of a job or working for free in 2 years let's throw them all out.
And those are just the government workers, right? Those aren't the contractors, I don't think.
My understanding.
Right. And the government workers tend to be repaid, but the contractors not always. So when I was hearing a story this week, it was Trumka, the AFL-CIO, talking about the cafeteria ladies at the Smithsonian. You know, they work for an independent contractor, probably for a lot less money than a lot of government workers, and they probably won't get, or there's a good chance they won't get their money back.
Well, they should, and it's really terrible for those people. But I got to tell you, Steve, I think that the press coverage of this, especially in the first few days, you know, the longer we go, the more realistic this gets. But, I mean, the CNNs of the world, the Chicago Tribunes of the world have all been, you know, very quick to look for the suffering family that isn't going to get paid right away. And most furloughed workers eventually get paid. I completely understand the inconvenience of it all. Would you want to miss a check around Christmas time? But I think that some perspective is in order here. And if you find a few families that can't get their marriage license renewed or whatever, driver's license renewed or their marriage license, or somebody's going to have to wait to get their pay, to feature that as the most important part of this story, I think is just trying to make the administration look bad.
Well, what I was seeing were reports of people who, you know, and there was one study by Career Builder from 2017, and I think that said 70% of us live paycheck to paycheck. There was another that said 30%, whatever. It's a big difference, I understand, but there are people who are having to write rent checks or mortgage checks who might not be able to do that, and then they in turn suffer things on their credit report, or they suffer late fees from the bank. So there's been some pressure on big mortgage lenders to waive fees and things like that. So, I mean, I think
that is interesting.
Thing. Yeah.
By the way, I'm looking at Elif, and I'm not sure if she's looking at me. Producer Elif, I have a question for you. The audio when President Trump was asked as a former landlord or as a landlord how he would treat people who had trouble making their mortgage payments. Do you know the cut I'm talking about, Elif? When you find that, let me know, because this came up early in the shutdown. One of the reporters on the White House lawn or in the Rose Garden asked the president about this. I think that was the setting, but that was the thrust of the question. And I wonder what your experience is at 312-981-7200. This is the Q&A from the president recently.
Would you ask those companies, the landlords, to kind of go easy on
I think they will. I think
do you want, do you, I'm sorry, would
no,
you ask
No, I think that happens. You know, hey, I've been a landlord for a long time. I've been in the real estate business for a long time. When you see there are problems out there, difficulties out there, you know, the people are all good for the money. They work with people.
So if you call your landlord, or the, by the way, good luck finding the people who hold the note on your car. But if you have a car payment or a rent check due, how does that go? Now, maybe it should go differently than if you can legitimately say, hey, you know about the government shutdown? I'm a government employee. I didn't get paid. I don't know that that makes a difference to the lender. Maybe it does. It should, but maybe it doesn't. And suppose it's not that, but you're a private sector employee and lost your job. I mean, how much room do they give you? The president said, I think they'll work with you. I don't know. The answer didn't sound too concerned with the consequences of the people that are not getting those paychecks. What's your experience been on that? If you're a federal worker, has anybody cut you any slack? And if you're not, but you've just been in that situation before, what happens? I don't know. I've been fortunate enough to not be in that situation.
At the risk of looking too hard for victims.
You know? I was just thinking of that as I thought of that. And I've been thinking of that, though, ever since this whole story first started to come down.
But consider also landlords. If you are a landlord with government employees who can't make the rent, and then I've read about this where the landlords have said, sure, I understand, you'll probably be good for it, you know, I'm not going to waive or give you a late fee or whatever, that landlord's still not getting that monthly income.
Well, that's
and
it.
And she is probably living close to check to check.
The landlord.
She has to pay. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that, Steve, because it vilifies the landlords and the people that lend money to people to buy cars, their families too, their companies and businesses that are trying to make a living too. I know it's easy to vilify banks. We do it all the time. Some of it is self-inflicted, but so the banks have to hold it? They're the ones that have to take it in the shorts because the government can't get their act together? Or the mortgage companies? Or who the lady that bought your two flat and And, you know, that's her money, and she's living in the bottom, and you're living on the top. She has to support the government?
Well, the government helped the banks when they needed it.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point. Matt Bubala, who does a show here at WGN Radio, I said Jeff Bezos, you know, he and his wife are splitting up, and she's going to be the richest woman in the world if it goes 50-50. Matt said, John, she's worth $140 billion. I think I said, or he, I think I said he was worth something like 20 or 50. She's going to become the richest woman in the world. Thank you, Matt. Answer to that. Okay. Pick a couple of phone calls then. We'll start with line one. That's Lisa. You're on WGN Radio. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, King John. How are you today?
Good. What can I do for you?
I'm so glad you talked to Matt Bubala.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. I want to know where the money is for these people. Is it like being in an escrow? Is it making money?
Oh.
Do they get extra money when
right.
they get paid?
The 800,000 know? People, where is that money?
Where is the money? I kind of scoured the newspaper and there was nothing in it about it.
Thanks for the call. I don't have an answer to that. Maybe we'll find out. Yeah, should they? That's interesting. If it goes to a certain point, again, when I get to be king, they will get interest on that. Interest, by the way, is invisible. You know, it's 0.1%. So, but we'll give them, if you're owed $1,000, we're going to give you $1,010 or something like that. I mean, you should get the money and you should get interest. There should be a penalty. If you pay the government late, you pay a penalty. If you don't pay your taxes on time, there's a penalty. Why doesn't the government have to get penalized when they pay you late? I'm with you on that, Lisa. Let's see. Who is next? It looks like it's Joanne. You're on WGN. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, King John. This is probably the first time that I am really upset with you. I don't know what you think people are going to be living off of, paying for their children's things, paying penalties for not paying their bills on time. The government isn't going to hand over all this extra money to them because they weren't paying them. Is there an answer for this?
You think no. I'm not being sympathetic enough to those people who aren't getting their pay?
You know, this is the second time in a month that I felt like I was going to have a stroke. Once with you and once the homily at the Catholic Church on the fourth Sunday of Advent about forgetting about all the priests who were abusive to children and are no longer living. Those children are living and having to live with their sins. I feel this is the same thing. We're making people or forcing people to go to work. My son-in-law is a federal prison guard. Should we have a raffle every day and let out a federal prisoner at all these prisons? Because, gee, you know, we're not being paid? That would be stupid.
I'm sorry I've upset you.
Sorry you did it, King John, because usually I love you and I listen to you some part of every day. And I'm upset when you go on vacation.
Well, let me do that. And thank you for tolerating my thoughts on that. I hate to be in the first boat that you described, the two strokes you had and or almost had. And I guess I was just looking at it from a sort of macroeconomic perspective. I'm just looking at it from way up high going, if we wanted to sort of get our heads around this thing, finding somebody who was inconvenienced by the work stoppage or the payment stoppage is not the single most important thing that's going on here. But you're right. There's two kinds of unemployment in the world, 100% and 0%. And if you're not getting pay, then that's everything in the world to you. And I'm glad you straightened me out. Just one last note about the government shutdown and workers not getting paid. Rokan sound guy Brian came in here and he said, he was talking to me about TSA workers. How is it that they're not essential? Right? Like you have essential and non-essential people that get paid, don't get paid. They should absolutely get their pay. They should be reporting to duty. There should not be any question about the TSA workers. I mean, didn't we amp that up because of our fear of terrorism? And so how is that not like as essential as anything that you ask the government to do? I don't have an answer to that. Steve, I'm going to try this again. Do you think if Parker Posey married Cody Parkey, she would change her name to Parker Posey Parkey? At a restaurant, would someone call out table for Cody Parkey and Parker Posey Parkey? If they got divorced and she and the kids kept their hyphenated names, and then she married South Park's Trey Parker, then she would be introduced as South Park partner Parker Posey Parkey Parker. If she took a job as a valet working the south lot of the United Center, wouldn't she then be the South Park partner Parker Posey Parkey Parker South Parker? I'm just wondering. I mentioned that to Bill Leff in the hall the other day, and he goes, huh. I wonder what Judy Markey would say about that. I told my friend Mark Baser about this, and he said, well, was she wearing Warby Parkers? So the list goes on of clever observations. That's on my Facebook page. Maybe you won't go there now.
Oh, there's some clever ones, too?
I'm WGN King John on Facebook. It was really funny what you said, Steve Bertrand. So I'm watching TV, and I, you know, the reason I watch television, and maybe you're the same way, is so that maybe I'll be watching when the next Geico commercial comes on. And they say now they're going to, they're playing some of their greatest Geico hits.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you,
they're good.
They are really good. The one about Hump Day and the camel.
Hey, guess what day it is? Hey, Mike.
You are good.
Hump Day.
Can you play that one for us, Elif, at least a clip from it?
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie. That's good. That's good.
Wait, do you have the Wilbert one?
Which one is that?
Oh, I love Wilbert. He's in the back seat. Did the little piggy go wee, wee, wee all the way home?
I don't have that one. What's the next one we got there, Ms. Garris? We've got a few of these. What's the next one?
We have the dinner massage chairs one.
Oh, God, this is the one that's running right now. Here's part of it.
Well, how the massage chairs working out for everyone?
I don't know. I'm still a little stressed about buying our new house.
They're all in these giant massage chairs, and they're eating dinner around the dinner table. And the forks and the food and the milk and everything is just flying because they're totally vibrating. It's ridiculous. It's very funny.
I never saw that one.
Oh, my gosh.
Out.
Oh, that's the current spot. Do you have one of the caveman spots?
It's so easy to use Geico.com, a caveman could do it.
What?
Not cool. I did not.
So the caveman is always insulted because things, you know, that are simple, a caveman could do it. And then there's that guy who looks like a Neanderthal, but he's wearing khakis and he's got a tennis racket and he's at the airport and he's just so put off by that.
And in this commercial, he's playing a boom guy for the commercial. That they're filming the commercial.
Oh, and he's the
guy.
He's working the spot.
Okay, I just have to say, I never thought any of those caveman commercials were funny.
Well, that's...
And I know people really did. And
I never did either. But that's where it kind of started, because that's a saying, right? So easy, a caveman can do it. But then they took all these other sayings and kind of put them in the real world, which is so funny.
The talking camel one looks so real. And they're
so real, like it's really a camel talking?
Yeah, and walking through an office. And
if I thought a camel could talk, like that's what he would be doing.
Exactly. And by the way, we've all worked with somebody like the camel in the commercial.
And when he's walking down the cubicles, his little floppy feet.
Okay, Elif, you got to get this one ready. Play it again, the camel guy. Tell me if you've not worked with somebody like this at least once in your life.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
And he's got his face right in Julie's face. It's a great big camel. It's very funny. It's a very funny commercial.
I think you could compare that to anything in the office, like people coming up to you and saying, like, for instance, I have curly hair. And back in the day when I didn't straighten my hair ever, people would be like, you have curly hair or you have straight hair. And that's all I would hear all day.
It's water cooler guy all over again. Hey, Mikey, drinking some coffee or, you know, what is it? Remember that bit on Saturday Night Live?
It's also how everybody acts on their birthday at the office.
Yes, right.
The copier boy.
Yeah.
The copy guy. Well, so I just think those commercials are really funny. I don't know if they're really engaging people in a contest to be in a Geico ad, but I want to be in a Geico ad someday. The commercial that's not super funny, and this has popped up on TV a bit for me. Do you have the Madigan Democrats Okay, so this is just, if I, in an alternate universe, had given money to Mike Madigan, you know, for whatever reason, and then I saw that this is how they were spending it. There's a commercial, and it's one of these, you know, warm, all-American political ads where things are getting better now under the Democrats in Illinois. Madigan's not up for re-election right now. There's no reason for Mike Madigan to be running spots. There's no reason, by the way, for Mike Madigan to ever be running spots. But there is one of these commercials, Donald Trump's hotel and himself appear in the background in a couple of cuts. The idea is Republicans are bad. Donald Trump is bad. But now that Mike Madigan and the Democrats are running the roost again in Illinois, life is going to be better.
They tried to take away health care and cut funding for breast cancer screenings. They even failed to act as our veterans died. But it's a new day in Illinois with an agenda to put families first again.
To fight for affordable health care.
Equal pay for women. Keep our families safe. And
Madigan.
For the wealthiest to pay their fair share so
Madigan.
We can get a break.
In the fights that lie ahead, Democrats are on your side.
In the fights that lie ahead, Democrats are on your side. And then that's it. It's not vote for anybody. It's just, it's sort of like a shot across the bow for the whole state. Hey, everybody, we're back in power. It's going to kind of suck because there's going to be a lot of fighting, but we're on your side. I don't know what I'm even supposed to do with that. Does anybody think, oh, hooray, it's the Democrats are back in charge in Illinois. Yay! We'll get our breast cancer screenings and Donald Trump won't be a problem. Yay! No, nobody thinks that. In Illinois, people think, oh, Lord, they're the ones that got us into this pickle. I don't know how much that commercial costs, but now they're buying airtime and actually putting it on television. And it's funny, too, because as much as you know Mike Madigan runs the state of Illinois, you really don't know what he sounds like. But there he is in one cutaway looking concerned and, you know, politicians don't do really anything. They're not like welders or basketball players. You know, you can see what they do. When you want to show a politician hard at work, there's nothing for them to do except listen or sign. So there he is signing something, seriously considering it. And then there he is looking at you saying, don't you worry, we're in charge. So that's just that's the other end of the spectrum for me. You got the guy. In fact, I would like the camel from the Geico ad to appear in the Mike Madigan commercial. Then that would make me happier. What else do we got here? We have time for this? It's 2:45 on WGN. I'm John Williams. We appreciate you tuning in. Oh, one other quick note, just of things that I've been looking at lately, and that is, I don't suppose you guys have seen the movie Roma, but we went to the Music Box Theater to watch it last night. It's in black and white. It's set in the 1970s. It's a brand new release. You can watch it on Netflix, but some folks are going to watch it on the big screen as well. That's a nod to what a good movie it is. So it might be nominated when the Oscar nominations come out. It might actually get a nomination for Best Picture, or it might be Best Foreign Language Picture because it's in Spanish with subtitles. It's set in Mexico. I don't know if a movie can be both, but it would be a legitimate contender for either. It's the story of a maid who lives with a well-to-do family in Mexico City in the 1970s and what their life is like. And every now and then it takes turns and you think, oh, it's going to go here or going to go there. But it really doesn't do much more than very patiently show you what this woman's life is like. And at times you're laughing and at times you're gasping. And it's just really a rich movie made by the same guy that did the movie Gravity. And with some terrific scenes and imagery in black and white. Don't ask me why he did it that way, what with color being available and all, but it works. The movie's called Roma, and I really like that. Yesterday, a guy called in and said, what, you know, he said, you should do it. And I'm not exactly sure how we're going to do this, but I think this is a good idea. He said, why don't you do a segment on the show with some regularity, get a couple people who know about this, and tell us shows that we should start to watch. You know, we've had a couple TV critics on lately. We had Matt Rausch from TV Guide, and we had Jason Nathanson, the entertainment reporter from ABC, on the other day. And both of them said that it is so difficult for critics to watch all of the available programs. One of them, I think, said there's over 400 regularly scheduled TV shows right now. A human being can't watch them all, let alone understand them, know them, be able to report on them knowledgeably, right? So it would be a service to you and me to say, okay, if you're looking for something through that mass of shows, here's some recommendations. And then tell us a little bit about them and what are the pro and con. This came up after I mentioned to somebody that The Night Manager, the BBC show, was really good. It won a Golden Globe Award for Best Supporting Actress. And it's about a night manager at a hotel who gets caught up in international intrigue. It's 6 episodes. The British shows, I guess, go about 6 episodes. Is that right? Bodyguard, BBC Channel 1. Was number 3 on The Guardian's list of the 50 best shows of 2018. I agree. I thought Bodyguard was really good, too. It's not my favorite kind of show, but it was good. It's about a bodyguard who's guarding a politician and what his life is like. And it's violent. And you're trying to figure out, you know, who's up to something. That's Bodyguard. The show, though, that has just been the best, most pleasant surprise to us at my house is Catastrophe. Anybody watch Catastrophe? It got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Again, it's a British show. We watched it on Amazon Prime, and it's about a guy and a gal who meet. They have a fling. She gets pregnant. And now what are they going to do and what that's like and what's their relationship all about? And they are very funny. She's a school teacher. He's an ad executive. He's in London, the American in London, opening up a new office for his agency. She's a British school teacher, and they meet in a bar one night. And the scenes are just so funny. It's just very snappy, very funny, very dry at times. And doesn't it seem like everything that the British do, the acting is so good? So that show is called Catastrophe, right? Oh, my God, this is a catastrophe. I'm pregnant. What am I going to do? And the story is very funny. So that's another recommendation. So there's 3 for me. But we'll spend some time in the near future talking a little bit more about this. Okay, Chance the Rapper. Let's talk just a second about that. Normally we take a break here. We don't have to, right, Ella? I don't need to take a break, right? So you know about R. Kelly, who has never been convicted, but he's faced numerous charges, child porn, et cetera, abuse over the years. But he ain't gone to jail. There was a conversation, stand by, text is pouring in. Do you have plans tomorrow night? Huh, it's my brother. Okay, continue the show. I thought that was somebody telling me I just said something wrong, like I got the name of the show wrong, which I do all the time. Let's pick it up with Chance the Rapper. So there's R. Kelly. There's this docuseries, which is being rebroadcast. And people are watching it. I think it had 1.8 million viewers in the first view. And by the end of the short run, or the last episode, had over 2 million viewers. Lifetime Channel says it's their most viewed episodes in 7 or 8 years. The more this runs, the more people talk about it. And it's amazing that R. Kelly's been able to get away with what he's been able to get away with as long as he's been able to get away with it. In a separate show, Chance the Rapper talked to an interviewer, and they took that clip and put it in the doc series. And the quote from this series from Chance the Rapper that's getting a lot of attention this week is where Chance talked about why he supported, essentially, R. Kelly at first, and why he didn't believe his accusers.
Maybe I didn't care because I didn't value the accusers' stories, like, because they were black women.
That's the clip. Maybe I didn't value their stories because they were black women. And that's the clip you hear over and over again. Okay, so let's back it up a little bit and see how Chance got himself into that predicament. Cut 2, right, Elif? This is him on why he recorded a song after these allegations were coming out with R. Kelly.
Making a song with R. Kelly was a mistake. I think for a long time, I was only able to understand R. Kelly's situation and presence in the world when it comes down to his trial and his accusations and his accusers as a victim. And I don't know if that's because I'm from Chicago, or because he made great music, or because he's a black man.
Mm-hmm. But you saw him as a victim.
We're programmed to really be hypersensitive to black male oppression.
Not sure who the we is in that, but we are programmed to be hypersensitive to black male oppression. Certainly the black community is, certainly black men are. So there's Chance the Rapper, and here's somebody going after the black guy. He talked about how on TV and in the world, you see the police unfairly treating black men. It seems like black men are always being unfairly treated, is what Chance the Rapper is trying to say. So when somebody's going after a black guy, he said, we are predisposed to imagine that the black guy is being mistreated here. That's the road that Chance is going down. Okay, so that's just a little backdrop to that. You can agree or disagree with that, but that's what he was saying. And then he says this.
Black women are, you know, exponentially a higher oppressed and violated group of people, like just in comparison to the whole world, you know? Maybe I didn't care because I didn't value the accusers' stories, like, because they were black women, because, like, light-skinned women or white women. That's, like, when it's, like, a big story. And I think, like, never really seen any pictures of R. Kelly's accusers, and I never really...
They're not what you think of when you picture the light-skinned woman or the white woman who would get the attention that you say the other type of women would get.
Well, that's deep. Yeah. I can't be right all the time. I'm happy that, you know, those women are getting, you know, voices now, and that I can grow to kind of understand, you know, better what my positioning should be or should have been.
There's a Creative Minds symposium that he was invited to speak at in Chicago. Now they've uninvited him, or he can't be there. Figure that out. But so he's not going to get an opportunity to be on stage with some people. They don't want to have anything to do with them. And I don't know if what he's saying there is stupid or criminal or offensive or honest or kind of brave. There's somebody saying, here's why some of us didn't believe the accusers. It's not right. In fact, he says it's not right. But that's, if you ask, he's at least going to tell.
Right.
I hate to use the word courageous because I don't know that that's courage, but there's something really honest about what he is saying. And he's putting it out there. I mean, he must know. It's funny because you didn't hear the entirety of that. You heard the thrust of it. But as he was doing it, he was pausing. There were some ums. You know, I think he knew even as he was saying this, this is not going to go well for me.
Well, it sounds like someone could rebuttal and say you're making an excuse. But I think he's providing an explanation
to why
so many people didn't believe.
Yeah, it's like, how did that happen? And then here's a guy going, well, I'll tell you what.
Intellectually thinking, well, what are the reasons? Why didn't we believe these victims?
He didn't say it was right. In fact, he said it was wrong. I can't be right all the time. I need to learn from this. And the other thing was, he said, we never saw their faces. We don't know these victims. Now you see these stories told on TV and you go, holy cow, these poor ladies and their families, they don't deserve that. These teenage girls, they didn't deserve that. I mean, that's awful. So he's feeling bad about that, I think, and he's saying this stuff, and now he's getting beat up for it, when in fact at least somebody is willing to tell you how or why that happened, at least in his case. I don't know that he needs to be put on a pedestal for that. I'm just trying to figure out how much he should suffer for it, and it sounds like he's suffering more than anybody's at least taking the time to go, wow, that was difficult to say, but you were honest in saying it.
Do you really think he got uninvited to that event this weekend?
That's my read on it.
Because of this?
That's my read on it. Go back to the very first cut, Ella. We had three. The first one is just a short clip. This is the one that's making the rounds.
Maybe I didn't care because I didn't value the accusers' stories. Like, because they were black women.
The woman that's interviewing him, she didn't go, whoa! Because she had the benefit of the context of the conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough about Chance to be talking too much about this, but I do know this. This happens all the time. Somebody says something, you get the most interesting clip, you play that, and And without sufficient context, it either exaggerates it or changes it. And I just think this sounds more incendiary than it really is.
Well, and he's trying to make sense himself. Why didn't I believe this earlier? You know, I mean, when we do something wrong and then we correct it later,
we look back at it and go, where was I?
Right,
I
mean, this where was my head? Why would I ever think that?
Didn't this happen with the Me Too movement for a lot of people? I mean, obviously there were those bad guys, but didn't all of America kind of go, where were we on this? To me, that's what this feels like. But evidently not everybody. Anna DeVlantis.
Hi there, John Williams.
By the way, what somebody just said, John, I'm sick of the Geico ads. Flo from Progressive and She's Jan good. From Toyota. Jan from Toyota I never liked, but Flo, I still like.
I do.
I like.
In the world where a lot of times ads sort of bug you, those are the ones I sit and watch.
And the Geico spots still make me laugh.
Me too. I'm with you on that
for
now.
And it's funny, I haven't used Geico, but I do like their commercials.
Pretty awesome.
What are you doing?
Ro just
what day was it yesterday?
It was Wednesday.
Hump day.
Hey, Mike. Yes, Mike.
Yeah, it is. It's ever since the cavemen. I mean, it was one of the few advertising campaigns that tried to make a sitcom out of it. Remember?
Mm-hmm. I forgot that. A lot of people have reminded me of that. Yeah. How are you doing, Mr.
All right. Couldn't be better, as far as you know. We're gonna take you kind of around the big stories of the day in the 3 o'clock hour. Laura Duarte is going to join us as federal employees are rallying the loop here. And there's a mayoral forum tonight. We'll take you down to the border where the president is
he just spoke there. Moments ago, and he'll be making the day of it down
you
there.
You see the bearded guy behind him? The senator?
Yes,
from...
Ted Cruz.
I'm like, who is that guy? Oh, my God, it's Cruz with a beard.
He's got a new look.
Whoop, whoop. Have a good show, you guys.